Dr. Collins, good morning. Good to have you on board.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your background and how you first got into medicine, and then what steered you in the direction of colorectal care.
Okay. So I grew up in a medical family. My mom is a nurse. My father was also a surgeon. And so I kind of grew up in a hospital and making rounds on the weekend, and went to college at SUNY Geneseo. Went to medical school at Sackler University in Tel Aviv, and did all my training for surgery and colorectal surgery in University of Buffalo, and been at Finger Lakes Health ever since then in 2013.
And why the decision to go in the direction of colorectal care? Is that a personal experience with that growing up, or?
No, there was a lot of training with that in general surgery residency, and I enjoyed the colorectal cancer side of that with, you know, diverticulitis and inflammatory bowel disease, and so I chose to go that route, which was a 1-year fellowship off of general surgery.
And colorectal, the minute you hear that word, I'm sure for most guys, they're thinking the dreaded C word, as in colonoscopy.
Right.
Tell me how important a colonoscopy is, and what age you should really start to worry about getting one on a semi-regular basis.
Extremely important. Colorectal cancer is still the third leading cause of death, cancer-related deaths in the United States, and it is highly preventable with colonoscopies. We know that about 150,000 people per year in this country will be diagnosed with colorectal cancer. And so we recommend screening for average-risk patients, meaning there's no family history of colorectal cancer or polyps, at age 45. And then every 10 years thereafter, assuming it's a negative colonoscopy, but anybody with polyps or cancers is usually going to be 5 years or less in between those colonoscopies.
We're talking with Dr. Craig Collins here on FLX Morning. How preventable is colorectal cancer?
For most people, quite preventable. Almost all colorectal cancers start from a polyp, and that sequence from the time that a polyp starts to turn into a cancer usually takes about 8 to 10 years. And so the idea is that you catch that polyp and remove it before it has that opportunity to turn into a cancer. And so for most people, as long as they stay up with screening, it is quite preventable.
Now, I've actually gone through and had a couple of polyps removed myself after a colonoscopy. Generally, those procedures are pretty pain-free.
Yeah, absolutely. We do those procedures under heavy sedation or with propofol with anesthesia. Most people sleep through the procedure, but the goal is comfort. So if you wake up and you are comfortable, we leave you alone. But any discomfort, you simply let the nurses know. And, you know, we have plenty of medication to give to make sure that people are comfortable. And most people don't remember the procedure anyways, because one of the side effects of that medication is that you're forgetful.
Do you find that people are forgetful about colorectal care and that they don't pay enough attention to it?
Generally speaking, yes. I don't think that we've ever reached the screening goal of, I believe it's 80% of the population. So we're always working towards getting people the screening that they need. But as a population, no, we have not been able to hit that mark.
And what are the general treatments if colorectal cancer is discovered?
For colon cancer, almost always the management is surgical treatment, upfront surgery, unless the disease has spread at the time of diagnosis. Rectal cancer is a bit different in that oftentimes those patients will get upfront chemotherapy and sometimes radiation before having surgery, if at all. So it's a little bit different depending upon the details, but...
And I'm glad you made the separation between the two, that colon cancer is a completely different form versus other types of rectal cancer.
It is, yeah. Although the cell type is the same, just based on the location, the treatment of rectal cancer almost is completely different.
And how much more prevalent or less prevalent one to the other, colon cancer versus rectal cancer?
So the breakdown is usually about roughly 100,000 cases of colon cancer per year and roughly 50,000 of rectal cancer per year. So almost twice as prevalent. But remember, too, that the rectum is only about 15 centimeters as compared to the remaining 4 feet of colon. So it's less length overall.
What are some of the most common things that you find you wind up treating as a colorectal doctor outside of colorectal cancers?
Well, anything dealing with the bowel. So we deal a lot with diverticulitis, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, bowel obstructions, really anything that involves the small or the large intestine.
As you see becoming a more common thing, I see commercials for the medications for it a lot on television, so I've got to think that's got to become more prevalent nowadays that they're advertising the medication for it.
Well, I don't know that the disease itself is becoming more prevalent, but the medications to treat it are. So there used to only be, you know, one or two biologic medications to treat those diseases like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. But now, as you see on TV, there are handfuls of medications to treat that.
And probably one thing that I'm sure you would agree with is, mm-hmm. if you're having any kind of rectal pain, don't ignore it.
Any symptoms. Rectal bleeding, pain, change in bowel habits, thin stool, abdominal pain, bloating, nausea, vomiting, anything like that should be checked out right away, and I agree, not ignored.
Take me through what the standard process would be for dealing with something like that.
Usually it's an office visit with me to discuss those symptoms and have an exam. And then based upon, you know, the clinical history, the exam, then we talk about the next best steps, which oftentimes would be a colonoscopy.
And after that, what exactly is a colonoscopy looking for?
Mm-hmm. It depends on the patient, but generally speaking, if you're coming in with symptoms of bleeding or pain, change in bowel habits, then you know you're looking for cancer or a large polyp that could be a cause of the symptoms that you're having, or inflammation. So you know the colonoscopy is a small, you know, instrument about the width of your finger that's about 4 feet long, and we check everything inside the colon.
And is it always the case that it's always a surgical procedure to remove a polyp?
Well, we do it at the time of a colonoscopy, so either I would do it, or you know, if you get a colonoscopy with a GI physician, they also can remove polyps. So if we find polyps at the time of a colonoscopy, they're taken out right there, and we have little tools that go through the colonoscopy to remove those.
And generally, once they're removed, do they return, or is it a case of once it's gone, it's gone?
That polyp is probably gone. Once it's gone, it's gone. But we know that people that form polyps have a predilection to repeat those polyps, to regrow those polyps. And so we keep those patients on a tighter screening interval, you know, for the next colonoscopy. So we won't push it out 10 years. Instead, we'll do 5 years or less.
What do the roles of diet and exercise play in terms mm-hmm. of colorectal health?
Well, we generally think of the risks of colon cancer to be similar to the risks of almost any other disease, which is just lifestyle choices. So smoking, drinking, diet, high in red meat, obesity, all of those things are going to increase your risk of colon cancer, high processed foods, things of that nature.
So I'm surprised that when you mentioned a high content of red meat, what is it in a high content of red meat that causes that kind of inflammation and can get those polyps to form?
Not exactly sure. I'm not sure anybody is. We just know that the higher, and this is not a one-to-one correlation. So if you eat, you know, a lot of red meat, that you're going to have polyps. We have plenty of patients that have a diet very high in red meat that don't get polyps. It's just we know that to be a risk factor for, you know, exact reasons unknown.
And are the same types of healthy fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. that we talk about for a balanced overall diet, do those also have an effect on your colorectal health and care?
Of course, yeah. High fiber diet is a probiotic. The bacteria in the gut love it. It also increases the transit time through the gut. So it's thought to be that, you know, the higher the fiber, you know, the quicker the stool gets out, and you don't have that exposure time of potentially toxic substances in the stool that come into contact with the lining of the bowel.
And traditionally, when we talk about colonoscopies, that's referred to as something for a guy. Mm-hmm. But what about for women?
Same procedure, same everything. Yeah. So, and generally speaking, you know, if you take all comers, we're going to find polyps in about 25% of people just for screening. You know, if they're coming in with symptoms, which we call a diagnostic colonoscopy, you know, findings are going to increase on those patients.
All right. Well, Dr. Collins, thank you very much for stopping in and filling us in this morning. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having me.